Hi, my name is Lori Newman, and I'm actually really thrilled to be following Rain's presentation because I think it's, and I hope most of you are here for Rain's presentation because I think you'll see a lot of similarities, and it's very interesting, it's very fun. Both of these projects, both Sun and Rain's activity, are kind of an offspin of a project and activity we call Oasis. And it's very fun to see how it's spun off in different directions and taken different forms, but yet is providing some similarities. And I think for us, it's a little bit reassuring to see that some of these similarities. Basically, I'll be talking about another type of population-based gonorrhea surveillance, but this one is through the STD surveillance network, which I call SUN. SUN was established by the CDC with the intent to improve national capacity to detect, monitor, and respond to emerging trends in STDs and related behaviors. We started in 2006, and our initial activities were enhanced gonorrhea surveillance in STD clinics, and we expanded some other activities, such as genital wart surveillance in STD clinics. And the only activity I'm going to be describing today in this presentation, however, is the population-based enhanced gonorrhea surveillance. The reason we were doing population gonorrhea surveillance from a CDC perspective is that gonorrhea rates are still very far from the Healthy People 2010 objective of 19 cases per 100,000 population. And we really, at a national level, have very limited ability to understand why or explain why and understand what's going on. Case report data, which is what we get at the national level, is very limited, and all we can say, really, in general, is talk about sex, age, race, ethnicity, and very crude provider type. And we need a better understanding of gonorrhea patients outside of the STD clinic setting. The objectives of this surveillance system, then, was to establish a network of health departments working collaboratively with a standardized methodology and try and collect demographic, behavioral, and clinical data on patients with gonorrhea. And our intent is to monitor these trends over time, although I'm not going to be showing any trends over time data today because we really just have gotten started with this activity. And we absolutely intend to use these data to guide local, state, and national STD programs and policies. SUN has 6 participating geographic areas, and that encompass a total of 11 counties, although New York City is not included in this activity. But there are 11 counties included in the data that I'll be presenting today. The methodology for this activity is the following. We collect data on a sample of patients who are reported with gonorrhea in the counties that are selected for this activity. Sites conduct phone or in-person interview of the first reported patients each month until they've completed 10 male and 10 female interviews. San Francisco does this slightly differently, which is they're doing a weekly sample that's adjusted for non-response for a total target of about 100 men and 100 women per year. But what it means is from each site, we're getting about 100 to 120 men and 100 to 120 women from every site each year. And our sample intentionally excludes patients who attend the primary STD clinics in each of these areas because we're conducting surveillance in these primary STD clinics through another activity. And our express purpose is to learn about patients outside of the STD clinic setting. We have our sites transmit these data embedded into their NETS morbidity data, not through NETS, but we have them send it embedded in their morbidity data so that we can understand how representative these patients are, calculate contact rate, and get a better feeling for the context of how our sample can be generalized to the general morbidity. We started data collection at sites anywhere between February 2006 and January 2007, and the data I'm going to show you today go through December 2007, although this is an ongoing activity, so that was just an arbitrary stopping point for analysis. The kind of data that we collect is very broad. We do the basic demographics. We ask about all kinds of different sexual practices. We ask about substance use and partner characteristics. We ask about HIV and STD history, get some basic clinical information and treatment history. Most of our risk factors and sexual practices and so forth are all done with a 3-month time interval. In terms of the population size that we're covering in these 11 counties, we have a total, during this time period, there's nearly 14,000 gonorrhea cases reported in these 11 counties. Of those, only about 9,000 were eligible in the sense that they were patients who resided in the counties of interest. And there were other reasons that they got excluded, such as they turned out not to actually be gonorrhea cases. From that, the number of eligible patients, we then select, based on that sampling scheme I talked about before, the first 10 men and the first 10 women, we had sites select about 4,700 patients. And of those selected, our sites were able to interview 1,383 patients. Now, unfortunately, unlike California, this is an interview success rate of about 30%. And although that is appalling, that's essentially the state of what you deal with when you are trying to track down gonorrhea patients. There's a lot of unknown contact information for these patients, and telephone numbers change. And when you're trying to get hold of a gonorrhea patient, four, 6 weeks later, it can be very, very hard. This varied widely by site, and actually some of the sites over time have actually shown pretty dramatic improvements about how and have found very creative means of improving this, but we're always looking for better ways to improve this. So I'm going to be showing the data. All the data I'm going to be showing today have to do with those essentially 1,300 patients that we interviewed. And what we saw is that we saw on average about 20% of the patients we interviewed were MSM. That's not very different from the proportion of heterosexual men in our sample. And the implications to me about this are that, don't forget that gonorrhea is it's a MSM and a heterosexual epidemic. But also what you're going to see right now is the first couple slides I'm going to show you are very much predicated on the underlying population of the counties that we're surveying. So what you see on the west is very different than what you see on the east, but that's partly the result of just basic demographics where people live, population composition. But I feel like I need to describe these kind of basic characteristics so you understand where we're coming from and how these things vary by site. This is the race ethnicity of Sun interviewed gonorrhea patients, as you see what you might expect, which is that a larger percent of patients on the western sites are white as compared to some of the eastern and central and eastern sites, which are more African American. The age of Sun interviewed patients, what we found is very similar to what we find with our national case report data, which is about this. Here we found about 70% of our patients were under the ages of 29, which is which conforms with what we expect of gonorrhea epidemiology. I wanted to show you a little bit before we go on some just a very, very crude indication of how our Sun interviewed patients compared with all morbidity. Over half of our patients, as we tried to do, were female. Over half were under the age of 25, and over half were non-Hispanic blacks. So not too far off from what we saw from all morbidity in these counties of interest. That is, all morbidity does not mean nationally. This means all morbidity of the 11 counties of interest. Now to some of the more interesting stuff. When we look at the reported HIV status of the Sun interviewed men who have sex with men with gonorrhea, we found some really concerning figures, which are on average about 30% of men who have sex with men with gonorrhea were HIV positive. And this varied widely by site, but still very high HIV prevalence in all these sites. These are men who, these are HIV positive individuals who are getting incident gonorrhea, and this is a real alarm, and programs need to be very aware of this, and this needs to be a priority to address this very important mode of HIV transmission, signal that the ongoing HIV transmission may be occurring. We can also look at good provider type data as compared to some of our case report provider type data, where all we can really say is, did someone come from an STD clinic or did they not? So this is just showing the not. And I'm not showing you the 30 to 35% of STD clinic patients from these areas. I'm showing you just the provider type once you look outside of the STD clinic setting. Overall, what you see is about a third of patients were diagnosed in ER or urgent care settings, more so than primary care setting. And I'm going to put out there to you that I suspect that this is a concerning figure in the sense that and I'm not going to go into this today, but I think that there are very serious implications in terms of partner management and screening and follow-up, and the kind of care that a patient gets in the ER urgent care setting is probably very different than the kind of care that they can get in the primary care setting. And I think we need to think about what that means for gonorrhea control when so many patients are being diagnosed in settings where they don't have continuity of care. I looked at this just briefly by stratified by not only sex, which I'm not going to show you here because it wasn't all that. I found this one much more interesting than showing you all the stratified by sex. When you look at it by race, ethnicity, you find that 40% of blacks were diagnosed in ER urgent care settings, as opposed to whites, where the most common diagnostic reporting source was a primary care setting. And then for Hispanics, it was this very nebulous other, which I think is the Hispanic issue is I think we need to investigate this, and we really want to talk with all the participating sites and better understand what we can do to understand better what this other category would be. But what I really see here is, if I don't know how many of you heard the discussion this morning about, how did he frame it, the grid, having the opportunity, if we frame our opportunity grid as being access to care and how you access to care, I think we need to look at how we improve the opportunities for blacks, because I think they're getting a very different kind of STD care than our whites. And I think we need to think about that and maybe frame it a more positive spin, like he was saying, which is looking at how we can improve their opportunities. And it may be not changing where they go to get their care. It may be improving the quality of care they encounter once they get to that setting. But it may be working on both of those fronts. When we look at reported drug use over the past 3 months by Sun interviewed gonorrhea patients, I think it's pretty striking. Men who have sex with men have very high levels of drug use of nearly all the drugs that we were monitor and collect data on in the system, and that's compared to the level of drug use in heterosexual populations. And again, this varies widely across the country in terms of, but when you look at it, and these patterns hold in most areas that you see. When we look at reported risk behaviors of the past 3 months by Sun-interviewed gonorrhea patients, in terms of sexual median number of sexual partners and mean number of sexual partners, MSM, maybe possibly a little bit higher. But what I found interesting in terms of basically no one across the board reports much exchange of sex. I mean, that's something we always tend to look at, but I don't think that's really where the yield is in learning about what we need to think about in terms of risk behavior. Anonymous sex partners. MSM have very high levels of anonymous sex partners, but also heterosexual men and women. This is a really important area to think about because it has very different implications for how we handle and do partner management with them. In terms of MSM, tend to be more likely to meet sex partners through the internet than do heterosexual men and women. But heterosexual men and women tend to have much higher, tend to much more commonly report recent incarceration of themselves or their sexual partners. And again, I think this matches up very well with some of what they saw in California. One of our sites is in California, San Francisco, but certainly San Francisco does not California represent. And so it's interesting to me that they're seeing this, some of these things on a broader basis as well. We have some information on partner characteristics. For instance, we ask, in the time before you were tested for gonorrhea, did you use a condom the last time you had sex? And the proportion of people who answered yes was surprisingly, 26 to 40%, only about that much, that proportion said, yeah, they used a condom. No surprise, these are all patients who had gonorrhea. But when we asked them, have you had sex with this partner since being tested, a quarter of them said, yeah, I had sex with the partner since being tested. And we then followed up this with, well, how sure you are that that person that you just had sex with got treated. This is pretty high. Nearly half of these patients said, only half of them said, yes, I'm sure. That meant the other half really did not feel confident in that their partner had been tested. And that has very important implications. And I think it was important for both heterosexual and the MSM population. And I think that really speaks to us in terms of how much more aggressive we need to be with partner management strategies. In terms of treatment, which is something always at a national level we're very interested in, have absolutely inability to get at a national level through our case reporting system. But you all locally may have more access to this, but we nationally have not, prior to this had good access to this type of data for this non-STD clinic population. We are seeing right now that about two-thirds of patients are receiving received cephalosporins over this time period. Now you have to remember that treatment recommendations vary over this time period. This was 06, 07. Guide recommendations varied over that time period, and they vary by state. One of our EIS officers is going to present and has analyzed these data in greater detail, and we'll talk more about that at the EIS conference. And it's an incredibly rich area to look and understand, but it does give us some interesting information. So there's quite a few limitations to the system. We only have 5 geographic sites, and it's a big country and 11 counties. So we do have limited ability to generalize, but I tell you, it's a heck of a lot better than working in the total dark for some of these issues that we're really struggling with. There is absolutely potential for response bias, since we are only able to contact about 1 in 3 patients with gonorrhea due to poor contact information. But again, sometimes we just work with the best information that we have available. We do have slight variability between the sites in terms of methodology, because as much as possible, we've tried to incorporate it into their routine practices and their routine activities. We'd like to make this as sustainable and less burdensome as possible. And we don't have trends over time available yet, but I think that's where this information will really start to get rich and valuable for us. So in sum, some of the things I showed today is that you always need to remember that gonorrhea is both a mixed heterosexual and MSM epidemic. And this is very different than what we see in syphilis and what we see in chlamydia. MSM gonorrhea patients interviewed reported high levels of risk behavior. 30% were co-infected with HIV. And some of the risk factors that we need to think about would be looking at drug use, anonymous sex, and internet sex. That's very different from those are different risk characteristics than we need to think about when we're thinking about heterosexuals. In heterosexuals, we need to think about investigating incarceration, anonymous sex, different issues. I don't think there's a great yield in really focusing in on the heterosexuals from the perspective of drug use and sex work. I think we should start with the things that are much more common and associated with reported cases of gonorrhea. Across the board, we need to think about aggressive counseling and partner management and how we can improve them as useful intervention strategies for both MSM and heterosexual patients with gonorrhea. And there were very important racial and ethnic differences in where gonorrhea is being diagnosed. And that is something I absolutely intend to pursue with these data sources and look. So some of the things we plan to do is to look at trends over time and try and ask the questions such as, are there changes in risk behaviors associated with changes in morbidity? We want to try and expand the number of SEND participating sites so that we have better geographic representativeness and can have improved ability to generalize. We are absolutely intending to geocode and link these data with census data and other data sources so we can do some of the fun stuff that other people have talked about here. And ask such questions about these access to care and look at associations with socioeconomic status and environmental factors. There's all kinds of really exciting stuff we can do with these data. I only showed you a little bit of it today. But I'm happy to answer any questions about this and to tell people more information about this if you don't have time to ask me today. Thanks. Back there. Let me give a very brief version of his comment so that it's recorded, which is that basically he was saying that one comment being there is some difference between urgent care and ER settings, and there may be important differences to think about when you think about that. Yeah, this is still a little bit of a crude measure, and we would love to be able to make that even finer and define those provider types even more tightly so that we can have better understanding. The other part of what he was saying is that really ERs and urgent care settings are an incredible opportunity to intervene and improve the quality of care that patients receive. Is that a fair restatement? Okay. Over here?
Rate of infections, long time,
No, we have not looked at repeat infections yet. We do absolutely have the ability to do that in this data set, and we haven't done it yet. I'm still, this is kind of weird. These data are really hot off the press, and really this is a new system, so I am eager and excited to have either myself or one of my collaborators dive into that. Yeah, absolutely. Repeaters are, you know, definitely would fit in many people's definitions of what the core is. And for us, it's really exciting to have a data set like this. Case report data, I'm not sure if you guys are all aware, but at a national level, we can't look at repeat infection because we don't have unique identifiers. We have unique identifiers in this data set. We can't track them back to the state level, but at our, we do have the ability to do that now, and we will, absolutely. Over there was one. Although they tend, the counties were clustered around an urban area, I think it would be hard-pressed to say that Snohomish and Pierce County are urban. Not totally. I mean, there is some rural component to it. You know, that's a really interesting idea. And absolutely, I would love to talk to my collaborators in the project and talk about what the implications of that would be and how we do it and how we do a good job of monitoring rural areas. But absolutely, one of the things is we're starting with six sun sites right now, and once we get beyond six, it'll be a little easier to do that. So,
Last two questions.
One quick follow-up to the review question. Given the example you just seen when the first infections and when they come up, do you have a system to capture review infections that fall outside of that sampling system?
Yeah, we do, because we're getting because we're embedding our sample into the all the case reporting over this time period. Yes, we can. We won't be able to have that risk factor information won't be asked multiple times or necessarily on all patients, but we have the case report data, so we would have age, race, and sex, and for a lot of these sites, they do a pretty good job of having sexual orientation, so we can look at repeat infection, although we won't necessarily have all the exciting risk information and so forth on them. No, we don't get to that level of detail in terms of questions. That's an interesting question, and we could see at some point whether one of the sites has the ability to look at that question a little bit more closely. Thank you. And if anyone has more questions, write down my email because I'm always happy to answer more questions about the project.